This NFC training camp preview edition of the Sports Gambling Podcast is presented by MyBookie.ag. Sports are back, and MyBookie is now offering a 100% deposit bonus when you use the promo code SGP. Plus, deposit this week and get a free $10 MLB futures bet. That's MyBookie.ag, promo code SGP to play, win, and get paid. We're also teaming up with All Things Comedy to run back the 2019 NFL playoffs via Madden Sims and giving away $10,000 in my bookie credits. The championship game is this Saturday, and we're doing a $500 squares pool. Just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/squares for all the details. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/squares. We're also brought to you by Ace Per Head. Ace is the leader in pay per head providers, and they make it super easy to start your own sportsbook. Plus, Ace is offering up 6 weeks free over at aceperhead.com/SGP. That's aceperhead.com/SGP. Finally, we're brought to you by Cushy Dreams. Cushy Dreams is a new company with a full line of premium smokable CBD, now shipping legally to all 50 states. And if you use the promo code SGP, you get 15% off. That's KUSHYDreams.com, promo code SGP.
This is Jerry Glanville, and you're listening to SGPN. Let it ride, brother.
Fucking shine box.
Ooh, welcome everyone to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I'm Sean, stacking the money green with my partner in picks, Ryan, real money Kramer. What's happening, Kramer dog?
Shout out to the Kramer gang. Forgot to do that on the AFC preview. Made a note. Have to shout out my people.
Kramer gang was left hanging in wait, waiting for their leader.
Which, by the way, Sean, you know, the sim result to the ending of the simulation we called the other day.
Yes,
it had me thinking. Is that the craziest outcome?
Well,
of 2020 from a football perspective, will anything outdo the backdoor block field goal that they didn't even need for a touchdown?
Yes, of course. You're talking about the Bengals Colts game that we did a sim of. If you missed the clip or the game, check us out on Twitter at Gambling Podcast right now. It's the pinned tweet. We'll see if it is when this drops. But regardless, you can track it down pretty easily.
Pretty loud event.
It was wild. So the Bengals could have just kneeled it out. Like, clock was literally about to expire. Instead, time as it's going down, 3-2-1. They kick a field goal, which they don't need. They're up like five. They're up 17-12, and then the field goal, of course, is blocked. The Colts pick it up, return it all the way for a pick six. And someone pointed out the crazy part was that the Colts ended up kicking the extra point because that could have gotten blocked and returned the other way by the Bengals for a 2-point, whatever you would call that, a pick two. And that would have been a real wild result. Man. But the Sims have been so much fun. We, of course, are going to be closing out the football tournament with All Things Comedy this weekend. So make sure you tune into that. The rest of the divisional games are going to be Friday night and then Saturday night, championship Saturday, AFC championship, NFC championship, and the Super Bowl, AKA the Sim Bowl, all happening back to back to back, all live. We're talking about a 6-hour broadcast us getting drunk, watching video games, plenty of gambling going on. And as if you needed another excuse to bet on it, we're going to be giving away Super Bowl squares for that final game. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/squares to get your square, and sportsgamblingpodcast.com/ATC. See where you're at in the standings there for the race for $10,000 in mybookie.ag credits. Of course, mybookie.ag, the exclusive home to all this sim gambling. If we're calling a game and you're betting on it, you can only do it over at mybookie.ag. Promo code SGP. They're bringing back the 100% deposit bonus. And since baseball is back this week, a $10 free bet on any MLB future. That, of course, only happens when you use a promo code SGP, where you can, of course, play, win, and get paid.
Did you already put your $10 future on the Phillies?
I
Kramer, are you pretending to be a Phillies fan again this
year? Yes, I will. Nice. I will. I also kind of, my wife pretends to be a Dodgers fan, and she would be mad if she heard this, but mm-hmm. thank God she's not one of the 3% of the women that listen to this podcast. Nope. But yeah, Phillies. And again, we're probably going to be doing a baseball podcast. Maybe this actually airing after the baseball podcast where I make a case for the Phillies. But again, with these restart leagues in the NBA and the MLB, take a couple shots on these long shot, these huge dogs. I mean, especially with teams maybe having to sit a guy who got the Corona, any sort of situation, the small schedule, small sample size, it just favors the underdogs even more so than normal.
I mean, same reason we talked about variants in week one and two in the AFC training camp podcast, the same thing, right? Like it's just, you're playing the variants. So why not play it aggressively? Sean?
Yes. Philadelphia Phillies 30-1 right now over by bookie.ag. Yes, please. Give me a little taste of that. Bryce Harper finally gets his revenge on the Nationals. I mean, what were the Nationals last year to win it all? I mean, they're 20-1 this year. I think they was probably what, like 40-1, 50-1 last year.
You know, the Phillies aren't a bad bet, but I wouldn't personally bet on the Phillies, but the price is interesting. They can get it done.
They can get it done. Kramer.
My Yankees are going to get it done, Sean. I'm a big baseball fan, as you know, big fan of America's pastime.
Yeah,
I was up until I think when Derek Jeter retired, a little bit of my heart retired for and my love for baseball.
Did
retired.
Did you get a gift basket on the way out from Jeter? He had
if
your
I
heart.
Can only be so lucky, God willing, one day I'll get a gift basket from Derek Jeter.
Nationals were 20-1 as well last year. So I thought they were a little bigger dogs because they were 10-1 once the playoffs started. But hey,
why are we talking baseball, Sean? You're offending me.
This is a football podcast.
I don't know what this baseball love is. You need to watch Formula One. That's what you need, Sean.
And yeah, hey man, I like to dabble. NFC training camp. So this is part of the preview. Just one line item, one big thing, okay. Either a big question, a stat, an opinion, a take, whatever it is, one big thing. And of course, we got the division previews coming up in August. And this is the appetizer before the main course, which is the division previews coming up. We'll kick things off. NFC North, Green Bay Packers. I'll start with the Packers. 2018, they were 3-7 in one score games. 2019, they shot up to 9-1 in one score games. Is there a chance they don't regress? We always like, and the Packers have just so many like warning signs of like regression. They're going to suck. They're not going to be 13-3. And then all the drama between Rodgers and LaFleur. There's so many signs pointing to the fact that they're not going to be as good as their last year. Are they still going to just be pretty good? How far are they going to regress? No one's predicting they're going to be 14-2 or 13-3 again. Maybe it's not as big as we're thinking. That's kind of my question. How much are they actually going to regress?
And I have a stat to back up your point, because my point was very similar, right? Is this the regression team this year? 63 points was their margin of victory, which is the least from any 13 win team in the history of the NFL, Sean. Again, 63 points winning point differential, the lowest of any 13 win team ever.
Yeah.
Ever. And they did so while facing the easiest schedule. So if that doesn't scare you from a basic regression standpoint, I don't know what would. So my question is simply like, can this team survive regression, especially when they've taken with their first two draft picks a quarterback who will not play and a running back who will have a very limited role?
So you're saying it's a bad strategy to draft a quarterback who's not going to play in the early rounds?
Not if you think your offense is teetering on failure, like we just kind of highlighted a little, or your team is teetering on failure because you have the reboot waiting, right? But what a strange long game to run Aaron Rodgers out of town.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Like,
not a good strategy. Well,
all right. So there's, I don't want to take too long on the first team, but there's a chance you're right, LaFleur. But if you're wrong, what a, you wasted the last couple of years of one of the greatest quarterbacks of my lifetime.
And this was this is clearly part of the Aaron Rodgers window, right? They got to the NFC Championship game. We just laid out the case for why it was a bit fraudulent. But wouldn't you want to just keep exploring that window?
Well, and the hot take, or not the hot take, but the question you're going to see from other square media outlets is certainly going to be like, can the defense take a step forward in spite of not getting draft pick reserves coming to support them? You know, like that, that's where we're going anyway. Yeah. Packers, they have an uphill battle this year. I will say that.
Yeah. And Will Rodgers be distracted? He just broke up with longtime girlfriend Danica Patrick. They bought a, this is insane. They bought a $28 million Malibu beach house in December of 2019.
Wow.
I don't know what's going to happen to that.
But, and then quarantine happened.
Yeah, exactly. And then he realized it's not working out with the old Danica. Time to land him another friend. All right, moving over.
Turns out he likes to have, his partners need to have a smaller dick than him. See what I did there, Sean?
I got it.
I'm two for two.
Moving over to the Vikings.
You like that? You like that?
We've given Kirk Cousins a lot of shit, but Kirk Cousins went into New Orleans and beat the Saints in the playoffs.
Sim gods.
He did get waxed by the 49ers the next game, but can Cousins build off that momentum? Will this be enough? Give Cousins that confidence he needs to get over the primetime hump, the always auto fade and big game hump. I mean, he showed up in a big game. Is that an outlier, or will that be a trend? That's the big question for the Vikings.
Yeah, I simply wrote, is Cousins finally a franchise quarterback?
Yeah,
he's been paid like a franchise quarterback for a number of years, but is he finally the franchise quarterback? I'll throw
he's
out
been on the franchise tag a number of times.
Sean, you know I like to throw out nuggets from time to time. But this one was intriguing to me. The Vikings were a team where Cousins had success in spite of their lack of success in the running game, at least consistently. So I was a little surprised to see that when Cook was out there, and when Cook wasn't out there, Cousins was a similar player. Now I do wonder, Diggs, he mattered. So I don't know if trading him out was the right move, but from a locker room perspective, it seems at the very least he was outspoken. So again, my question really is just, is Cousins finally ready to be a franchise quarterback? Sean, I believe they only have one or two post or primetime games. So that's looking good if you're a Vikings fan, at least for regular season success.
Moving over to the Chicago Bears, it's pretty easy. How long do they stick with Mitch? In the AFC podcast, we said, how long is Adam Gase going to still be a coach for the New York Jets? Because it's a limited shelf life. Mitch Trubisky, the writing's on the wall. You just have it's got to be troubling when a Super Bowl MVP with a
long Cox
just is standing in the wing, just waiting to replace you. Like Mitch seemed like an insecure guy before. And now you bring in a giant dick God like Nick Foles.
I mean,
just waiting to take your job. To me, it's a matter of time. However, if you can still bet on Foles being the starter week one, Mitch being the starter week one, I think there was it was plus 200 plus 350 early on Mitch to be the starter. Lock that up, because There's not going to be any real opportunity, especially now with no preseason games, for Foles to win the job. And I think Bears management is still going to give Mitch the benefit of the doubt. Like, he's not going to lose the job in practice. Right? Am I wrong?
I think we're aligned on how you should handle this. You let Mitch go out there and trip over his own dick, and then it's easy to bring in Foles as the savior.
Yes.
Which tees up my question perfectly. Can and will Mitchell Trubisky lose his starting job twice this year? Because we know Foles is not above popping a collarbone. The dude's fragile as fuck. Sure, he has a dick named the Philly Special, but I don't know if this is a guy that you want to lean on. I mean, really, his entire career has been injury riddled, with the exception of a short spurt in the playoffs where he took Philly to the promised land. So said a lot of words there, but really my question is, can Mitch lose the job twice? Because here's something I'll point out to you. Adjusted sack rate for the Bears last year, 22nd. This is a you're going to hear a lot of people talk about how they're due for turnover regression in the positive sense with their defense, but sack rates are things that are concerning metrics for a team that relies heavily on it. To see them down in 22nd, you say, sure, Ryan, sure, Ryan, maybe that's the bounce back opportunity. But I would say, hey, fan, we spoke of this a year ago. Going from Fangio to Pagano was a problem. And that's where we saw it first materialize. Yep. I think we see another step anyway. So Mitch will lose his job two times, Sean.
Kramer, final question for the division NFC North, Detroit Lions. Was there friskiness early last year? Was that who this Lions team was, what actually was, and they just lost Stafford? Or was it just kind of that random shitty team that got hot early and they would have faded anyway, regardless of Matt Stafford getting injured? I think that's the key question there.
So again, I mean, we zero prep here.
Yes.
Zero prep here. I have another stat to help out your point. Tell me, where do you think Matt Stafford was ranked in passing yards when he got hurt last year?
Top, I'd say it'd be fourth in passing.
Fourth.
Yards.
He was fourth.
Nailed it.
Second in touchdowns.
Didn't even look that up.
Second in touchdowns.
Put it on my room.
So put it on your room. So the point being, not only that, Sean, one of us picked the Detroit Lions to be a frisky late playoff member last year.
Yeah.
And again, it toppled when the quarterback went away.
Well, you remember that Chiefs game, right? They should have beat the Chiefs in Detroit, and that was a hell of a game.
The quarterback going away is the number one reason to explain variance in a team. And this team was awful. They brought in some reinforcements, and like we discussed on the coaching props podcast, it seems odd to me that Patricia is the favorite, because there's so many reasons why this team could get better, right? The story was Darius Slay is this great cornerback. He's leaving town. The defense was bad anyway. So lots of reason to be excited here. If I'm a Lions fan, my question is simply, are they really a surprise to make the playoffs now that there's a seventh playoff team? I love them as the surprise.
And anytime the Lions are in the playoffs, I think it's a surprise. Regardless, you can put 12 teams in and it would still be a kind of a surprise to see the Detroit Lions playing playoff football.
But you looked at the way they were playing last year before the injury. I certainly think they're an intriguing story. And for a guy who catches all sorts of shit, especially from us, Patricia's at least put he's constructed a roster that can win. So now we get to see. I have a feeling I'm gonna be out on a limb picking the Lions to make the playoffs again this year, Sean.
NFC West, San Francisco 49ers. Kramer, what's your big question?
Jimmy the Great or Jimmy the Goat? Come on, this can't keep going on, right?
Well, I said mine's very similar. Is Jimmy G an asset or a liability?
Oh wow.
Well, an asset or liability is a great way to look at it, right? Because he's getting paid franchise quarterback money. But really, to me, when they ran the ball 30 times in the NFC Championship game, and they're like, "Hey, just called for it." There's a little bit of he's not the guy, and then some of those deep balls late in the Super Bowl. But still, he's one of those guys. He's not a guy you're looking to get rid of. But really, is he that guy that last year on that 49ers team? Was there anyone he elevated, you think, on the offensive side of the ball?
I mean,
I think the Cowboys,
he ran the offense well.
The Cowboys are dealing with a similar thing with Dak, where he's a guy you win he's a guy you win with, not because of. And I think Jimmy G is in that same category where you can win games with him, but he's not a guy that's going to win you some games that you shouldn't have won. And that's that top tier, that true franchise quarterback, the guy who can pull out those crazy plays, drive you down the fourth quarter, throw a great jump ball to Greg Ward, pull it down, and then go on a four game run to help you win the division. Those are the kind of guys that are franchise quarterbacks. The guys that should get paid.
You called it out, but his fourth quarter stat line says it all, right?
Yeah.
I think he completed a couple passes and threw a pick. It just show up, be a franchise guy. I just don't believe it. The problem is that Shanahan's good, and I don't know if they need to. I don't know if he's going to need to win a ton of games again this year because they're kind of teed up. Who knows? Maybe this Mostert thing will cause.
I think the offseason thing that's more likely to impact them is trading away DeForest Buckner, who is a goddamn beast.
Well, they filled that hole with Kinlaw, so it's not like they're not putting talent there.
That's true, and maybe it's a lateral move, and they don't miss much. Moving over to the Seahawks. For me, how much will they put on Wilson's shoulders? They seem the Seahawks are a frustrating team. They have the guy. They have the guy. They have Danger Russ. They have a guy who
they have the guy
who can create those plays, who is a true franchise quarterback that you can put the team on and say, take care of business, but they seem reluctant to do it. I don't ever understand their where they're at with that. That they get to see it. They've witnessed Russell Wilson and still they're like on the fence as to whether or not to let the offense run through. Will this year be a year where they load up even more in Russell Wilson's play?
I put mine is will Russ play football?
Okay.
There's a lot of layers to this onion. We're going to peel off one. Russ, strangely, I'm going to say something blasphemous, but he strangely feels like the kind of guy that would sit out.
I doubt that. He hasn't missed a start his entire career.
No, I'm saying from the coronavirus standpoint.
Like no, but I'm saying
from a guy who's willing to make a political stance and might be so far outside the box, like say bending into like selling concussion water and other things. The second layer of this is, does Pete Carroll and this staff let Russ play football metaphorically on the field? A deeper question. Because you know who they signed in the offseason, Sean? The ultimate, I want to give the ball to a guy who's going to trip over the line of scrimmage, and that's Carlos Hyde. You don't sign Carlos Hyde if you're trying to create an explosive offense. You sign Carlos Hyde if you're trying to shorten games and run the ball 3 yards in a cloud of dust. I'm very concerned. The bright spot is DK Metcalf. So I
dude's a stud.
I like, just listen, Pete Carroll. It wasn't an inside job. Let it go and let Russ throw the goddamn football. Like, don't wait till the third quarter when you're down to let him activate. It's ridiculous.
Los Angeles Rams, is Sean McVay's coaching genius title up for grabs this year?
I'll take you. I'll raise you, because we can have the conversation. But why is he not a candidate for first coach to be fired?
Wow!
Opening a new stadium. Oh, hot. They need someone. I mean, sure, maybe he was good looking before we saw the inside of Cliff Kingsbury's house. But now we're just seeing a fucking nerd who watched a lot of game tape. Now we're seeing a nerd who has a shitty quarterback and is putting all of his eggs into the Cam Akers basket. The defense is disheveled. I don't know about this. Sean, what were the odds for McVay? Does he even have odds?
It's probably like 40-1, 50-1. And Wade Phillips no longer with the team. And he was quietly, I think he was a big part of their success.
He was the bridge between the nerdy analytical guy and the players.
Well, and also he was, I mean, Sean McVay's like a young, I mean, very young guy who never played football. Wade Phillips is like, he's like, if you went to Central Casting and was like, I want a football coach. And they're like, how about Wade Phillips? His father's name is Bum Phillips. Never met a quarterback he didn't want to sack. Like, he's just the prototypical coach. And I think, you know, guys do respond to that, but okay, you're the pretty boy offensive guru. That's fine. I don't know if they're, I do feel like losing Phillips could hurt them. And maybe Phillips lost his fastball, but Brandon Staley, I don't know. That's kind of I don't really know a ton about him. The new defensive coordinator. which they brought in. Let's see. I think he last was on the Broncos. I don't know. I don't know shit about Brandon Staley, but he's no Wade Phillips. I'll tell you that much. And maybe Wade lost his fastball, but yeah. And if they can't, I don't know. Their salary cap thing is.
I don't even see him listed.
Yeah, he's Sean another. McVay. I think he's another young dude.
I don't see Sean McVay listed. Sorry, it's on the odds.
Oh, I thought I saw him somewhere, but he's certainly like super far off. I don't think First Coast fired, but I could see them really after that Super Bowl loss to the Patriots. They could go 6-10 this year.
Not to go into it, but it's not exactly like they're owned by a guy who is, you know, some revered owner who's going to stick with you through thick and thin.
It's true.
By all accounts, Stan Kroenke is a real ruthless son of a bitch. So I wonder how quickly the hammer falls if things start to go. I mean, this is not the best time to be moving into a new stadium, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and it's going to be so weird, both the Las Vegas and Los Angeles stadium, if they end up opening up like brand new stadium, it's just completely empty. That's going to be kind of creepy. Well,
you heard Mark Davis, right? It's all or nothing with the Raiders.
What does he mean by that?
Means if they're not allowed to have all the fans, they're not having any of the fans. It's like, shut the fuck.
Dude, that is
you Tommy boy looking motherfucker. Like, what the fuck?
So you're saying there's a chance. Like, dude, if you can have 10% of the fans, why would you not do that? I mean, you would really turn down money? So guy who clearly needs money.
Classic example of like, dad was a smart, innovative fucking dude who worked hard. Offspring are just complete dredges of society. Let's move on, Sean.
Moving over to the Arizona Cardinals. I'm waving the red flag here. Uh-oh. Are they getting too much hype? Are the Arizona Cardinals this year's Cleveland Browns? Mm. We saw it last year. The media was getting around him. Young second year quarterback. Okay. They brought in a high priced receiver. Don't you see the similarities between Freddie Kitchens, Cliff Kingsbury, both like franchises that have sucked for a tremendously long time, desperate for that story of them, the hope, et cetera, et cetera. And that's what I think. If you're a Cardinals fan, in the back of your head, you're like, we're not the Browns, but secretly you're a little worried, right?
Well, and in mine, a similar statement, similar question. Is this the fantasy value hype team of 2020 with Kyler? Very similar to Baker. He's skirting up there to where he is now. You know, he's the guy you're thinking about, or at least you're seeing in rankings after those top couple guys. You're seeing potential for top guys in the running, like Kenyon Drake. Like,
yeah,
he's
about to get paid.
You
maybe
see a team with top five talent across the board fantasy wise. I just don't know what they did to fix that defense and why anything's going to go differently this year. I like Kyler as much as the next guy, but you know, if there's a team that couldn't be more obviously headed towards a subpar season just because the bar has been raised so high, yeah, it's the Arizona Cardinals.
The hype train is getting off the rails. I worry if you're a Cardinals fan.
Now, I will say before you get to that, Sean, the only way that if the Rams outdo the Cardinals, that's maybe one way they can skirt up a little bit.
That's true. It feels like there could be some disappointment in that NFC West. Tell you what you're not going to be disappointed about. Good folks over at Ace Per Head, the leader in pay per head providers, make it so easy to start your sportsbook. So easy. Anyone can do it. Even someone who had no idea what they're doing computer wise. All you gotta do is go to aceperhead.com/SGP, get up to 6 weeks free. Just that easy to set up your own online sports book, turnkey operation. They give you a login. You have your own betting site, get it going. I mean, MLB is happening. Basketball is about to be back. NFL futures up for grabs, all that and more. Just go to aceperhead.com/SGP, aceperhead.com/SGP. Stop trying to beat the bookie and just become an online sports bookie. Kramer, NFC South, New Orleans Saints. What do you got for me?
When will the Jameis Winston era begin?
You're joking. Just calling for a Jameis.
I'm not joking. Come on. Drew Brees, one way or another, I just don't think, I think this is the last year we see him play football. He's not going anywhere next. Like no one's taken an old, like he's beat up. He's a dome quarterback who expired last year. I think we saw him expire late in the season. So yeah, I very, very serious question. Cause it's not Taysom Hill. We're not, it's definitely not going to be Taysom Hill. Jameis Winston, or the funnier version is Jameis Winston turns out to be really stupid. Can't pick up the offense.
Gets cut.
Goes back to I just think, when is he starting? I mean, talk about a coup. The Sean Payton pulls off a masterful signing of Jameis Winston, gets a number one pick, can now train him to be a proper quarterback. I don't know.
For me,
week 7, I'm saying.
I did a little gambling analysis here. The Saints are favored in every one of their games. Now, normally they've been pretty decent as a favorite, at least past three games.
You're projecting them to be favored in every
game. You can look, the look ahead lines are out. Every single game they're favored. Now, obviously it'll change as the season goes along, but the early look ahead lines, they're favored in every single one of their games. Will there be value in fading them?
Yeah.
Past 3 years, they've been 100%. Like 7-4, I think each season as a favorite.
100%.
I think maybe this year, and that probably ties into maybe Breeze. I think this year there may be some value in fading them.
I love fading them because you I know we're not going through schedules or anything, but they start with the Bucks, which we've seen that story before. They then head to Las Vegas. That's going to be a hell of a road trip. Could be hot as fuck. It is a night game. Still could be hot as fuck.
What do you mean? They're going to be in the dome though.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Still out in the desert.
Yeah, you get dehydrated when you're out in Vegas. I get it.
Then they have Packers, then they go with two lines. I'm telling you, I think this is the end for Drew Brees. It's got to be, right? Like when I look at a team, are you really excited about the Saints? I'm excited about Kamara.
I'm looking at what they did in Mad Mayhem, and they still feel pretty frisky to me.
They are sim gods.
Atlanta Falcons, for me, it's very simple. Was their 1-7 start a forecast for the end, or was that second half turnaround legit? When I heard the coach was drawing coaching assignments out of a hat,
bingo.
That to me, that was like, okay, he's done. It's just a matter of time. Dan Quinn will be fired. I think it will be this year. That's where I'm leaning. But there certainly is that opposite side. And I've heard people kind of quietly high on the Falcons and making all the right excuses. And now, you know, they bring in some talent, et cetera, et cetera. Whatever. I think that 1-7 Falcons is closer to who they are and who they will be in 2020 than that second half.
First coach fired or surprise 7th playoff team? That I think that's the range here. Maybe a little bit higher. I guess you could say they can win the division if the Saints fall off completely. Another team where it's like, yeah, Dan Quinn. What his odds first coach to be fired are interesting because if it starts bad, he was the guy, as you pointed out, he went all in, right? He's fucking changing coaches around. He's drafting the guys he wants to draft. I mean, they fucking signed Todd Gurley. How desperate are you to sign Todd Gurley?
And Matt, that's something you do when you're on your way out.
I did see this over on ESPN. Matt Ryan sacked only fewer than Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson over the past couple of years. So that's crazy. Those guys get sacked a ton. I don't think about Matt Ryan in that same conversation. So, you know, that's the narrative of how they fix it, right? They shore up the line, they get a pass rush. Maybe this can be a team that wins the division, or they don't. And Dan Quinn's out of here by week 6 or whenever their bye is.
Tampa Bay Bucks. We know the big stories, but to me, it's a very simple thing. Will we see Sis Tom or no risk it, no biscuit, Tommy? So will we have that check down high completion percentage New England offense, or will we have the guns out, let's air it out? Maybe Tom Brady wasn't thrown deep because he didn't have the protection, or the scheme didn't call for it, or they didn't have the receivers that could get out. Like his most reliable receiver was Edelman, so he couldn't get the deep ball.
The position that Bill Belichick was worst at in terms of giving Tom Brady weapons is the wide receiver position. The 1 year he got to play with Randy Moss,
it kind of reminds me of McNabb and the Eagles, where they had a decent offense, had a lot of talent around him, had McNabb had a nice window where he was a franchise quarterback, but just had one small window where they had an awesome receiver, but for the most part, receivers kind of trashed during his era.
Well, and it shows you how valuable some good receivers can be and what they can do to a quarterback. And for me, I kind of went down a similar path, but it just flat out attacking the name. Like, is Tampa anything? The worst fucking thing in the world. Like, who thought that was gonna sound
good? Tampa Tom. Tampa Bray, bro.
Tampa Bray.
Tampa Bray is my favorite.
Really, I'm over it. Sorry, Sean. I think
that, dude, you know, if I have a bet on the Bucks, I'm gonna be yelling Tampa Bray every.
It's a baby fucking wheel, man.
But as I was thinking about the Bucks here, the one angle where I don't think I'm gonna end up settling super high on them, but I'm definitely intrigued by the idea of Tom Brady having nothing to lose.
And having receivers around him. It's interesting because I like that angle about it, but then they're also checking a lot of boxes for that free agent super team where everyone comes together. Like, that shit never works out in the NFL. So that's what's scaring me off of it.
Yeah. And as I think more, I should have revised my question to simply be like, is he still the GOAT if we see him get put down midseason? Because,
well, no, then John Elway skyrockets to the top.
That's the tough thing about a scenario like this. If he plays like he's got nothing to lose and he just has just a, like, he's no different than Jameis Winston. Like, imagine if we're looking at Tom Brady 4 weeks into the season and he has like 8 touchdowns and 9 interceptions.
Yeah.
Fucking Jameis Winston, we could have done that. Anyway, what's next?
Carolina Panthers. Can Matt Rhule do enough to jumpstart this team? I don't think they're going to be a playoff team, but enough that you see the teams that kind of bottom out, new coach in, kind of makes them scrappy, almost the Brian Flores role where no one expects much out of them, but they do enough to kind of get a little heat going. And I was looking at some deep analytics where Teddy Bridgewater actually not that bad at throwing the deep ball. Didn't have a lot of opportunities to do it, but, and you got, I'm blanking on his name. Who's that receiver? Anderson.
Robbie Anderson.
Oh yeah, Robbie Anderson, the guy who
threatened
a nut in the officer's wife, the officer's wife's face.
Yeah,
hilarious story there. Do yourself a Google and Google that. But maybe there's a couple of big plays out of this Panthers team, or maybe there's like a little scrappiness it brings. Maybe this longer than normal training camp with no preseason games kind of has a college environment. They rally around Rhule and make a little noise here. But Matt Rhule does feel like the storyline for sure.
My question is simple. Sleeper team tanking. No one's talking about the Panthers tanking, and this is a clear rebuild. They hired a coach for the long haul.
Yeah.
The red flag is that, you know, I would say that the transition from college to pros don't always work out well. I mean, remember Bobby Petrino quit like a little bitch. But I would say, like, this is so very clearly a rebuild. Keekly gone. Most of the snaps on the defense gone. A lot of the production, pass rush gone. It just feels like a rebuild where they very obviously are giving Matt Rhule a large leash with that contract. So why are we not saying the Panthers are tanking for Trevor?
Well, I hope,
because they have very, very clear bridge quarterbacks in Teddy Bridgewater,
who literally is the bridge quarterback.
And while we liked him, PJ Walker,
I just hope we get to see him play in the NFL, cause he was so fun to watch in the XFL.
You know, you get the sense like perhaps the Panthers are sneakily covering everyone's eyes up, and they're the ones that are going to end up with Trevor Lawrence before it's all said and done.
Moving over to the last division in our NFC training camp preview, the NFC East, aka NFC Beast.
No, man, it's been a while since you can say that with a
Philadelphia Eagles. Can the speed they added to the offense be enough to kind of jumpstart things? We saw what the team was capable of week one when you had DeSean Jackson, 2 50-yard touchdown passes.
Oh, here we go.
He's back, depending on if things go well in his trip to Auschwitz. They drafted Jalen Reagor, who it's going to be tough to expect a ton out of a rookie receiver, but maybe he gives you a little spark in special teams, or they work him into the playbook.
Yep.
Goodwin, maybe he's involved. I think he could be a dark horse candidate to get cut, actually. assuming the rest of the receivers stay healthy. But to me, that's a big story for the Eagles, right?
Very
now.
Specific preview of the Eagles training camp. Yes. I remember driving back from Las Vegas with you after that game, and it was just nothing but listening to Eagles podcast, making sure that, you know, up to speed on all the talking points. For me, it's simple. Carson Wentz, can he prove that he can stay healthy 2 years in a row?
Come on. Come on, Kramer. You can do better than that. Well,
the team is saying maybe not by drafting Jalen Hurts. So I think there's some pressure on Carson Wentz here to show. I mean, I'm the first part of this was kind of a joke, but the second part isn't, which is there is now legit pressure because they took a guy in the second round, which is the number one reason why it was a dumb fucking move.
Well, but also there was pressure on him. There's always been pressure on him because
there's always pressure on him because you make a lot of money and you're in the franchise fucking quarterback. When the team says, hey, we're going to waste a second round pick on a guy who might be your replacement because we're not sure you can make it through a 16 game season year in and year out because you're a goddamn pussy. Sorry. That last part was my opinion.
Kramer, you can't call someone a pussy and then follow it up with chugging coconut water. That really takes away from the sting of being called. Only in Los Angeles could one person call someone else a pussy and then slug some generic coconut water.
Shout out to Carson Wentz. I'm sorry.
Moving over to the Dallas Cowboys. How bad can their defense become and still be competitive? Because that is the sleeper in this.
Yeah. Mike McCarthy. He's a defensive guy.
Well, and they've let and DeMarcus Lawrence. Now he's talking about not playing. Who knows? I'm sure when they actually explain to him that he won't get money, he'll play. But
well, he's concerned. He doesn't want his pile of guns to get corona. Was that him? No, that was a different guy.
But I mean, they lost their cornerback. They've lost a couple other big guys. Vander Esch has trouble staying healthy. There's a ton of, I mean, that defense wasn't that great last year. Certainly they brought in the kid from Oklahoma, the receiver. That was CeeDee Lamb, that was a nice draft pick for them. They're relying on Dak and Zeke. Both probably will have corona again by the time the season kicks off.
And please, it's rain.
So everyone's saying like, hey, their offense is going to be so good. They're going to outscore these teams. It doesn't really, that's rare for that to work in the NFL in the current state. I mean, we saw the greatest show on turf, that Rams team, but even they, you know, that worked for 1 year, but even that second year, they lost to that better defense that the New England Patriots had. So I think could work to a certain degree, but I think their defense is so bad. It could prove to be a serious liability for this team. And in a season where they're bringing in a new head coach and new, bringing in other offensive weapons, maybe the offense, not completely. They did keep their same offensive coordinator, which I do think will help them. But in this shortened off season where the offense is essentially probably going to be behind the defense, especially early, and their defense, by even you look at their roster, should not be as good as their offense, I think they could be in trouble, Kramer.
So the question for me is, can Mike McCarthy be successful without Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah.
Period. And this is a scenario where you're going to read a lot about how the Cowboys underperform under Jason Garrett, who was put in a bad situation, as we know now. Now he's being put in a good situation with Joe Judge, New York Giants. But with Mike McCarthy coming in, everyone's going to talk about how he, my playoff wins and all this bullshit, right? But it was all with Aaron Rodgers. He now has Rain Dakota Prescott playing on a franchise tag. Maybe. Does that change the way he plays football this year, Sean? Does that change the way he puts his body on the line for the organization, who is clearly not willing to invest in him? Or is this just a case of a guy who was a good coach in a good situation and had the right quarterback roll through and had a lot of success in Green Bay? Now he's going to a broken locker room with a spare parts defense and an offense filled with, I'm going to use the quotes, talent. Again, you know, Zeke's getting high on Twitch.
He's faded, Ryan.
He's faded.
Whoa, don't say he's high. He's suing the guy who said he was high.
Why?
That would be awesome.
Isn't that what faded means?
Well, he claimed it was faded off of drinking, which again, he clearly was high, but
all right, so I respect him less. Like a man who's gonna lie about smoking weed.
Bovice, friend of the program, would never lie about smoking
weed. So yeah, my question is simply this. Like I you know, obviously I don't like the Cowboys, but I'm a little confused why everyone thinks Mike McCarthy's just gonna come in and solve the problems. What problems did he solve in Green Bay?
Jason Garrett, we can all agree, not a good coach. We're about to find not a good coordinator for the Giants. But
that's not nice.
In what world is Mike McCarthy a clear step up from Jason Garrett? Now, if it was Matt Rhule or someone that's a bit unknown, then I think it's easier to make that case that he's a clear step up. But yeah. Mike McCarthy is a known quantity. Jason Garrett, known quantity. Where are people handicapping that Mike McCarthy is so much better than Jason Garrett? I don't see that handicapping. I think we're in lateral move territory. I would grade Mike McCarthy as a better,
a
better coach, but is it that much better?
I think it's, you know, he's slightly, the scale slightly skewed more towards winning, but still underperforming.
Yeah.
That would be the angle, right? Like in a way he under, how many times did Aaron Rodgers win a trophy? Once.
Yep.
That's underperforming, right?
Yeah. If you got Aaron Rodgers, one Super
how
Bowl?
Are you only getting one? Like that's that to me, that's a coaching problem. I think we'll see. I mean, Dak has had his fair share of success as well. I believe he trails only Tom Brady in wins over the last couple of years, but
Kramer.
That is a disgusting act.
Did you just go out of your way to compliment Rain?
Now go home and get your fucking shine box.
Dak, he's Rain now.
Moving over to
oh, what's your question? Here we go.
And the New York Giants. Will the Giants offensive line hurt
Stop
development it. As a quarterback? I think that's a legit question.
You
because
not see that what Andrew Thomas is up to? Did you see the way he
no,
was?
No, and I see Nate Solder and I see what he's up to, and he's a human turnstile. I worry so that bad. the brain trust of Kitchens and Garrett coming in there, maybe not enough factored in with the questionable offensive line play, not enough to help Mr. Jones in his development. I think that to me is a big question. Now, Giants also kind of in the similar range of the Cowboys defense, where it's tough for me to really identify a bunch of playmakers on that side of the ball or any sort of defense that's going to slow them down. The offense, I think you can make an easier case for, cause there is some talent at the skill position, but I think the lack of just consistent offensive line play will be their downfall. Kramer, what's your big thought question for the Giants here?
Well, I mean, I think I have a number of questions, but I think the question I'll ask in this forum is simply, can Daniel Jones get some goddamn respect? People are coming. I mean, the Madden rating and the fumbling problem in Madden is a real problem, but this guy was a rookie, got thrown into the fire. Plenty of quarterbacks have given the ball away a shitload. But when you isolate things like his mobility, his arm talent, his ability to make a tough throw, these are all things I like. Now, with the great structure built by Freddie Kitchens, Jason Garrett, and all rise, Joe Judge.
I'll go home and get your fucking shoe.
I believe
there's not going to be a dirty shoe in the building.
Do you know a little nugget I learned while doing this research?
Sure.
Somehow Bill O'Brien is one of the few coaches out of the Bill Belichick. I'm sorry. The Bill Belichick coaching tree.
He's the only successful one
that has a winning record. Him and Vrabel, I think it was.
Yeah, Vrabel, small sample size, but they're the only winners right now.
I think he looks to buck that trend, and I think if nothing else, he should be operating with a leash. But yeah, I do think that Daniel Jones, for whatever reason, gets shit on in a way that is just different. And yeah, I get it. He's a quarterback in New York, but when he stands the fuck up and progresses from year one to year two, like most quarterbacks do, I expect an apology, Sean.
Well, here's the thing.
18 fumbles is not gonna cut it this year.
That's a bold prediction. Now, here's what happened with the Daniel Jones. Everyone shit on Daniel Jones. Oh, it's the worst pick of all time. Yada yada. And went all in on Daniel Jones being a horrible pick. And then Daniel Jones comes in, wins his first start because the Bucks miss a 30-yard field goal. And the Giants fans and New York media is like dancing on everyone's grave.
Yep.
Freezing cold takes. You're the worst. And then it turns out he sucks a bunch later as it goes on. So I think that is where the
Sean people rookies suck. That's how it works.
Right. But I'm saying the backlash from the original Daniel Jones hate is what's causing this second backlash. This second wave. We haven't flattened the curve of Daniel Jones hate yet.
His 5 300 yard games, Sean, were tied for second
if he can
in NFL history by a rookie.
Well, passing yards are a very vital stat to team success.
Sean, it will be a spoken apology.
All right. When they win the division, Kramer, we can pull this I will eat my words and apologize to Daniel.
Well,
Jones.
Since I've gone on record stating that the Giants will win the division
or Redskins, you gave yourself an out.
Walter Football has joined the Kramer gang. So I'm not alone in that prediction. I'm not on an island. It's an island of two. It means we can reproduce.
Closing out you and Walter.
It's a metaphor, you know. Shout out to ESPN, by the way, for taking down the Redskins logo.
Oh yeah, sorry. Well, no, we call them Washington Redskins until they come up with a new name. Then that's when we will start referring to them as the Washington Football Team. Right. The Redskins. What will Rivera's impact be? Maybe it won't be on the field, but things are just so they have.
Isn't there a chance this is like a Doc Rivers Clipper situation, and Ron Rivera is Doc Rivers?
They have a legitimately good front seven. Other than that, it seems like everything's all over the place. Haskins a real wild card, but how can Rivera, who seems like not a coaching genius, but at least a respected dude, can get things going in the right direction, possibly? For this Redskins team.
I mean, he has a
thankfully it sounds like Snyder's still going to be the owner, which I was getting a little worried that he's going to have to be forced to sell the team. Yeah. Now, luckily it appears like all the other rumors that everyone was hearing and that were flying fast and furious. Oh, I think they were real. They just couldn't print them for libel reasons, but yeah, check it out. If you want to see the rumors, go to slack.sportsgamblingpodcast.com. We'll clue you in. That's our behind the scenes chat.
Ooh. Well, you can't lose Daniel Snyder in the way that he's turned a team that
much like I'm worried with the Cowboys that maybe Jason Garrett was the key to their lack of success.
Jerry Jones is still there.
You're right. But that's the weird thing. They've drafted well, but the coaching decisions have just been horrific. Kramer, what's your Redskins take?
My Redskins take is can Haskins do enough to make this team a legit contender? I think you highlighted the coaching aspect. I think when you have a player's coach who was a player who has had success, you know, he was a successful coach in Carolina, that trades well in the commerce, in the economy of player reputation. And people will certainly know him as a player's coach. So I think having Ron Rivera there and having, which means there will be some form of structure in place to kind of shield them from the chaos that happens outside in the Redskins building or, you know, allegedly, it really comes back to Haskins, who went on record and said, you know, as a kid from the DMV, they'll always be the Redskins to me. He'll be playing for the Redskin name this year, I have a feeling. And if he can step up and be the guy they drafted, you know, my bold prediction of the Redskins or Giants winning the division, I think a lot, both of them have quarterbacks going year one to year two. You could argue the Redskins have more talent surrounding the young Dwayne Haskins, some questions around the offensive line, but receivers, competent running backs. They seem to have a ton of them. The defense could be really good. Like really, really good. Like he might not have to do much good. So my question is about Haskins. Like, will Haskins make teams regret the fact that they passed on him?
I'm going to go no, but hey, that's why they play the game.
The problem is, Sean, like this team could have a fucking pass rush. Like
I said, their front seven is scary.
The only team in the division that has the potential to have a scary defense this year outside of the Eagles is the Redskins.
Yeah, I mean the Eagles defensive line.
Oh, that's right. The Eagles don't have a back set. I forgot. They have no cornerbacks.
They signed Darius Slay, but
you mean the guy coming from the worst defense in the league last year?
Yeah, because he hated his coach. Now he gets to play for an awesome coach like Dougie P.
All right.
That'll do it for the NFC Training Camp podcast. AFC Training Camp podcast already out. Make sure you check that out. And of course, subscribe to the podcast. If you're not subscribed already, rate, review, throw us those sweet reviews. $500 Super Bowl squares for the Sim Bowl, closing things out with the football tournament.
How much did each square cost again?
Completely free.
Oh my God.
SportsGamblingPodcast.com/squares and the $10,000 in my bookie credits. That's up for grabs. Again, SportsGamblingPodcast.com/ATC. All the details there.
Jesus.
Stay tuned. SportsGamblingPodcast.com. Content train locked and loaded. Got a bunch of football stuff coming. Football is coming.
For participating in the Sports Gambling Podcast.
And for the Sports Gambling Podcast, I'm Sean, stacking the money green, and he is Ryan.
Is it too early to get a three-team teaser in for week one?
Kramer, let it ride.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.